فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار، فإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. Seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our fashion. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that this speech is the speech of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the test of your ability, fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. And inshallah, I hear talking today about a subject which related to every person, every human being, regardless if he's a Muslim or non-Muslim, anxiety, hardship, difficulty, sadness, worry. There's no anybody in this existence except he goes through some kind of anxiety, difficulty, hardship, worries, sadness. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Balad, فَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. And in actuality, reflection on the Quran and understanding the Quran and understand about the nature of a human being according to the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something very important to make things much easier on us. Not we're going to say that we're going to be free from hardship or difficulty or anxiety or sadness, but by reading the Quran is already telling us, foretold us, what actually a human being is going to be dealing with. And this is one of the surahs that's telling us about the nature of a human being. It says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Verily, we have created man in toil, hardship, difficulty, anxiety, worries. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us also, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or blessed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who's in hand is the kingdom and the dominion of everything. And he's able to do all things. The one who has created death and life to test you. So as a result of this test, it comes the anxiety. As a result of going through the hardship, the difficulty, you're going to be tested. And this reaction is going to happen. This feeling. So, by reading the Quran, you are not going to be surprised when something happens to you. And as a result of this, you're going to deal with it much, much better than a kafir. You see, the more the person has iman, the more the person can deal with anxiety, with problem. Why? Because he already knew the nature of being this existence, this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, I will test you. Allah is telling us that He's going to test us. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. And the mercy of Allah, He say, we shall test you, I will test you, but out of His mercy that when He test you, He test you with some, and some is something from a lot. Can you imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts everything in you one time? Allah knows our nature. He, our creator, He knows how much we can handle. You don't wake up, you find, as example, you lost all the members of your family. Okay? This is not the normal case. But a person maybe loses son, 5 years down the road, loses his wife, 2 years later, he used a daughter. But it's not a common thing, usually, that a person wake up before the 15 members of the family, everybody stays. So now when he sits up with a little, something out of me. So even when Allah sits up, we can see the mercy of Allah. Because Allah can take everything. Who can stop Allah? Nobody can stop Allah. If He wants to deal with us in this way. But Allah is telling us, I'm going to test you. So that means be ready, prepare. So now when you prepare with the calamity habit, like somebody who's driving and almost carrying the same firewood. So it's not to understand, happy when they have a flat tire, but at least knowing having a spare tire can make things a little bit easier than you. Because it's going to take 10, 15 minutes, take this tire and put another tire and keep going in the road. Different from a person who's not prepared. See? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us so we be prepared. We can be expected. Something can happen to us. Something can be falling in us. You see? So when it falls, we already knew in advance that we here to be tested. And with the test, with the anxiety, with the sadness, with the worry, it's going to be some reward. So, we did not despair and run away crazy, because we know there is a mercy coming with the calamity, with this sadness, with this fear, with this suffering, with this anxiety, there is a blessing company with it. You see, there's going to be some fear, some starvation, losing some of the property, or unfood, death of the beloved one, members of the family, when samarat, visitation, crop. But Allah after this is telling us what? Wabashkir is sabiri. Give glad tidings to those who have patience. This is very important. The Muslim has to learn how to deal with anxiety, how to control their anger, how to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the time of hardship and the time of good. Not only when I get something, now I'm happy and I have a smile, but when something else happens to me, now I go crazy. It doesn't work like that. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention it properly. Give glad tidings to the one who have patience. Just when something falling in them, they say, indeed, we belong to Allah, and we shall return to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So, what I'm trying to say here, my brothers and sisters, that worry, sadness, anxiety, is part of a person's human being living in this life, regardless if this person is a Muslim or non-Muslim, male or female, or the Uzian, Arab or non-Arab, everybody must have some space. Okay? So this is something part of the nature of being alive. And you could not imagine life without anxiety, without hardship, without worry, without suffering. It's going to be there. And don't think because you are a student that the teacher doesn't have hardship and difficulty and anxiety and worry. Yeah? The teacher has it. Now you worry about the test and the exam. And you're getting closer, getting closer, getting closer. But don't think that the professor, he doesn't also have a worry. He has maybe the worry when he goes to correct your paper. And he doesn't have enough time. Which one is going to pass the exam? And what about if his supervisor is going to check the paper? He has his own worry. The rich and the poor. The married and the single. The one who has kids and the one who doesn't have kids. Whatever it is, the one who is worried and the one who didn't eat. Those people are in war. They worry and their anxiety and their problem about how to defend themselves. And those people who are in peace, they maybe Korea understand now, preparing for something else. Let's say understand. They, everybody are worried. Not only the people of Iraq have anxiety, even the people in America have anxiety. You see? So it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have some kind of worry and sadness, and it's going to be over. But this also will be a little different from one to other. What kind of position you hold in, your worry will be according to your position. A person who's an imam in a small community, in a mosque, he has worry of when the mosque opens, somebody gives a khutbah, is the adhan being called, is the mosque clean, everything running or no. But a person who running an Islamic university, he has all worry, they have 300 students. You see? So what kind of responsibility and obligation that you get is also going to show the level of anxiety that this worry depends. And also how much iman the person is going to have. How much is the person will be able to deal with the anxiety and the problem. You see? To give you an example, here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who was with him in the cave? You sure? Alright, Abu Bakr. But, إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Here Abu Bakr, with his iman, is not the same level like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Abu Bakr was worried. Abu Bakr was worried, you see. Was not the same level like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always having somebody to look beneath his feet, he was beyond. But look to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was more common than Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Level of iman. Yeah? Level of iman. He said to his wife, don't worry. It's no need for vanity. Why? Oh, because we're going to call 911, we're going to call the troops, we're going to call... There's nothing of this. There's something else. Indeed, Allah is with us. Allah is looking after us. So don't worry about it. So even the Sahaba, they themselves, they have anxiety, they have worry, things like this, okay? But now we can see the level of iman is different, so both of them have different reactions towards what happened. This, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, is worried. He's not worried too much about himself, he's worried about the da'wah. You see? Because if something happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this means what? The end of the da'wah. This will be it. If the kuffar took him and killed him, this is it. This Islam is stopped here. See? So now we can see the worry of Abu Bakr. Now compare the worry and the anxiety of Abu Bakr and my worry or your worry. Am I going to catch the flight? Am I going to be in time and stand for the election? You see, we have different level of what kind of responsibility falling in you. Now it comes how much is the worry and the excitement and fear that dealing with. Let's deal with three terminology here. One called worry, one called anxiety, one called sadness. This comes in different terminology according what things you're working with. Alright? Something happening in the past, or happening now, or it's going to work as habit. You see? Some, as example, my daughter passed away. So now what's happening to me is what? It's sadly about something has happened. You see? But now I'm trying to drive 75 because I want to catch my flight. Now I'm talking about what? A future, huh? And this is making me what? So make you what? Worry. You see? And something that's happening now. You see? Make somebody make bullet now. Okay? So whatever it is, the terminology that we use, sadness or worry or anxiety or high blood pressure or getting nervous or you could not focus anymore, you could not get yourself together, all these things come as a dealing with part of being alive, dealing with problems, dealing with anxiety, dealing with different things from here and there. And how is the person going to deal with this thing? The more that a person has a higher responsibility, the more that the person will have anxiety and worry and sadness and things like this to deal with it. And the more that the responsibility, what kind of things that you're dealing with, also will be the level of the things that the person will be dealing with. We can see in the life of the previous prophets and righteous people that things like this happen. But we understand that nobody is free from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in Surah Al-Najm, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one cause you to laugh or to weep or cry. Both of them is from Allah. Everything by Allah. There is nothing happening in this life except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has decreed everything, even your sadness, even your fears and your anxiety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Adam alayhi salam, after such disobedience happened to him, from him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَحْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Get you all down. And when a guidance comes from me to you, whosoever follow my guidance, there is no fear, no sadness upon them. See, now this is two things that we deal with here, is the hope, the fear, and the sadness. Okay? But if a person is sick to Sirat al-Mustaqim, to the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to stick to Sirat al-Mustaqim, now this will be the safe way for you to get out of the fear and the anxiety and the sadness and all the things. Stick to the Quran. Stick to the Deen of Allah. Look to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When something happened to him, he ran to what? The lawyer. He ran to family consultation. He had something more important. He would get up and do what? Salah. He gets to the Salah. He go in a private station. Him and Allah. Talking to Allah. Making a Salah. Okay? So, this is the way. When it happens to you, there is a way, there is a refuge. You see? How many Muslims do you run to somebody who call what you call this, although they're even a kuffar, but they go there for family consultation. and it's supposed to be dealing with their anxiety. All those people sitting in here, you understand? I forgot what we call this person. I am a psychiatrist. Okay? And listen to them, and after this, $100 for 1 hour. All what they did, they said, and listen. All what they give you, chance, get it out, worth it. Go ahead, talk about. You can do the same thing. Go and say, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, O Allah. And start calling in Allah. You will be much better than you understand. You bought another $100 for nothing. You see, why you can get it for free? فَمَنْ اِسْتَبَعُهُ إِلَيْهِ فَلَا يَذُلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. We think that the Prophet, they dealt with anxiety. And the Prophet tested it. And went through sadness and even fear. And was from one person to the other person on the different. As example, look to the Prophet, Yaqub, alayhi salam. Did he have some anxiety? Did he have some sadness? Did he shed some tears? Yes. He lost his son. But he didn't know if his son alive or dead. And he lost what his son? The most dearest son to him. Okay? He doesn't know what's happening with the little boy, with Yusuf, alayhi salam. And he left with this sadness. But he was saying, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَسِّي وَحُبِّي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I'm complaining about my grief to Allah. You see? And he says, وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. He weeps too much to such a degree that he became blind. You see? And he's the Prophet of Allah. He can taste it. You see? He can taste it. But he still continues having hope. He has continued having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never stopped having hope. Through the difficulty and the hardship and the sadness and the fear, he continued holding hope that Allah will return Yusuf one day. But instead of Yusuf coming back to him, what happened? He lost his other one that he loved more after Yusuf. You see? And this is the work of Allah. And he didn't say, give up and forget it, man. It's too much thing. I'm calling in you to get me Yusuf. Now he's taking the other one. He continued. And he never gave hope and telling his own sons, Yadani Yadabu Fadad. From in Yusuf. Oh, my children, God, keep searching. Keep searching. You see? So, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling in Allah doesn't stop you to take means and ways to try to see to reach it, your goal. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been desired. He has sadness. He has worry. Look what was the worry of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in poverty. And like Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَنَ يَمُرَّ الْهِلَالِ ثُمَّ الْهِلَالِ ثُمَّ الْهِلَالِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَهِلَّ فِي شَهْرَيْنِ وَمَا يُقَدْ تُبْيُوتِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Three curtains, they watch. They observe three curtains. And this is what 2 months. And no fire being kindled in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does this mean? No fire. That means they did not cook a hot meal. But the Prophet was not worried about this. Look to some of us that when Abu Mahmud comes back and he didn't bring the gallon of milk to him, Abu Mahmud went to turn the quarantine, like they say, okay? Now it's not going to be a peaceful night in the house. It's going to be a war. Did I tell you before you go to the mosque, bring the gallon of milk and now you forgot? This is the main worry. Huh? Sometimes we have things that will make worry over it, which is not even deserved it. But look to the worry of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf. فلعلك بافع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا. Perhaps, O you Muhammad, killing yourself out of grief over them because they don't want to accept Islam. Compare what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worried and our worries, and the worries of people who live nowadays, from leaders and imams and people in positions of responsibility over Muslims. The Prophet was so worried because he knows that these people, if they die without accepting Shahada, being Muslims, they want to go to hellfire. And he was so worried about this to such a degree, about the killing himself, of the thinking and the try to accommodate them, how we can give them back. You don't have to kill yourself with this worry over this kuffar. Huh? You don't have to do that. تذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليكم ورن زي محمد ورن أورنا يا الله authority of this ليس لك من الأمر شيء. The matter doesn't belong to you. You have nothing to do with it because the affairs of guidance is belong to Allah. You guide by preach after this they accept the حق الله because they accept it. Not your responsibility, but don't go to such a degree that you're almost killing yourself over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 22, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. الله سبحانه وتعالى say any mischief, any calamity, any مصيبة, anything that will fall in the earth or in your own sin. Blackout. This is in the air. Earthquake. Or in your anfusikum, in your own soul, in your property, or you lost your education. Alright? Whatever that's happening in the national level or individual level, except the kitab is already in a book. Written before we've been affected, before it takes place. So calm down. Don't get excited. Don't, you understand, jump and hit the roof. What are you hitting the roof for? Take it easy. It's already known to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote it. Allah decreed it. Allah meant for it to happen. So take it easy. Calm down. Remember Allah. Have some iman. Why are you jumping? A Muslim doesn't go in the bridge and jump in the water. This is not the way to deal with the problems and hardships. Huh? This is not the way. So Allah said in us that whatever happening is already been written, is already been known. And indeed, this is so easy from Allah to know it, to decree it, to write it, to make it happen. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. So you don't grieve, you don't be sad, you don't be sorry for what you miss. What you miss is not for you. Okay? كَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And don't be so happy about what you got. Because most of them already decreed before. Okay? So, calm down. Thank Allah at all times. Because both of them, the good and the bad, is by Allah and been decreed. So be ready for both of them. When it happens, it happens. It's from Allah, by Allah, and jumping up and down is not going to change it. Is it true or not? Jumping in the river is not going to change it. It's going to make it worse. Huh? Breaking the glass, stopping coming to the mosque, taking your headpiece off, leaving the house, khul'a, more, it doesn't, it changes. Stick with it. Stay there. Be patient. Remember Allah. Get up and make wudu. Calm down. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَتَكُمْ. What is done, what he meant, He was planning to catch this aeroplane, he missed it. But not for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't speak to you to catch. He put the application, he tried to get the job. He didn't get the job. Don't do it. It's already been written down. Why are you jumping up and down? Take it easy. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Neither you be too happy about what you get. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love those people who is proud, arrogant. Okay? He found some of the Sahaba come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not because they asked his money. They asked him to participate in the battlefield. You want to go for jihad. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it came in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 92, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saying, قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْتَصُونَ. O Prophet of Allah, we want to go in jihad. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has limited resources. He don't have enough horses, enough camels, enough, I'm sorry, I could not take you. Those people did not say, yeah, it goes good, I'm not going. Now I can go be with my wife, with my children, everything fine. Enjoy my TV, enjoy my recliner in the house. See, returning back home, crying. SubhanAllah. No way, look, these people crying. Crying for what? Because they are not going to be part of the jihad. SubhanAllah. So now see the worry of those people and our worry. Man, I spent $300 and the car is still giving me a hard time. I just understand, clean this car yesterday. With my weekend, I spent 2 hours cleaning the car, washing the car. And now look at this such a person, my neighbor, this, what he did. This kuffar put somebody, put some oranges. Look at the mortgage of some Muslims nowadays about the car that he keeps signing and signing for 2 hours. And those men that because they could not be part of the jihad, they going home crying that they could not be part of the jihad because the Prophet doesn't have enough horses to carry them or enough cattle. See the worry of us. Compare it to the worry of the Sahaba. May Allah be pleased with him. Look to Maryam, alayhi salam. She has a serious task. How she's going to face the people and talk to the people about she having a child? Yes? He was doing this hardship, and this failure, and this anxiety, how is she going to face the community, and how is she going to deal with people? Because she has a child. Look to Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, been accused with adultery of fornication, and she's the wife of the Prophet of Allah, the mother of the believer. And she left this time dealing with this anxiety. You can see the early companion, the Prophet, they went through a lot of hardship and difficulty. So if we look and see how the anxiety of a person and the worry of a person, not only that regular Muslims go through hardship and difficulty, but even great leaders and the Prophet, they went through anxiety and hardship and difficulty, sadness, tears, and sometimes even been driven out of their houses. Who can be more than the Prophet? The Prophet didn't choose to leave Mecca. And you know how much the Prophet loved Mecca. But he had to leave. ثانية اثنين منهما في الغار. إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثانية اثنين إذ هما في الغار. It's the second of two. When the kuffar driven him out of his own house. He didn't live in his own. You see, they have to leave. And this happened to the Prophet, happened to the wife of the Prophet, happened to Maryam, happened to the Prophet Yaqub, happened to the Prophet Ibrahim. So maybe we'll make it easy on some of us. And maybe, like I always say, when I give a lecture, the lecture is for me before anybody. Maybe we'll make it easy on me. Now when I read the scandal on the website, Muhammad Abdi is out of the minhaj and all the things, and maybe some of you here this morning, you saw how much the brother came with paper, all these reports about Muhammad Abdi from the internet. Jazakallah khairan, akhi, thank you very much. Do you have evidence? He said, Brother Aqeel Walker and Sheikh Ahmed, whatever his name, I forgot what is the name, in Mecca, I said, do you have any solid evidence he can produce, like black and white? Do you have anyone of my faith that he can show me something that I'm saying is not on the manhaj of the Salaf? Aqeel Walker is not an evidence. The person can be lying against me. Sheikh so-and-so in Mecca who teach in Umm al-Qura, he lie against me and he say, this man, he is lying and he claims that I'm from so-and-so, and he told them he never taught in the Haram. This is fine. Okay? Everybody has his own anxiety. He's talking about 27 years. Sheikh Ahmed, where you were 27 years ago? How do you think that you... Why you don't say, I don't know if you don't know? What about if I get my certificate and show it to the people, written and set, and with a seal from the ma'had that Muhammad Sadat was teaching in the Haram? What are you going to say to the people, and what are you going to say to Allah in the day of judgment? You see? So we deal with anxiety every day. People, I got tired, I said, please, anybody say something about me, don't come and tell me. Don't come tell me. I lived for a month after a month with crime and sadness and I don't know what the deal is, but alhamdulillah, Allah bless me to get over it now. I say, listen, brother, do you think I'm a deviant? Any brother, any website, anybody, I tell them, listen, I don't have time for this foolishness. If you think I'm a deviant, don't buy my safe, don't come to my lecture, stay away from me, because I have a mission. I have to keep going, teach the people what Allah has given me. Doesn't matter if I was a teacher or not a teacher. Do you see me teaching something today that is contradicted to the Book of Allah, or the Sunnah of Rasulullah, or the manhaj of the Salaf? Show me. I don't have time for this. You know the truth? Because the truth. Not because the truth, because who's saying it. If Sheikh so and so say it, now it became right. But if Muhammad Sayyid Ali said it, now he's a deviant. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the shaitan, when he came and visited him for 3 months. After this, in the third night, he said, Da'ali, wa'allimuka kalimat, yanfa'uka Allahu bihin. Let me go and I will teach you some words which Allah will benefit you with it. If you go to sleep, recite Ayatul Kursi, and Allah will put the Hafiz, the protector in you the whole night to protect you until the morning. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Huraira, ماذا فعل أسيرك البارح? What did this man tell you last night? He said, oh Prophet of Allah, he claimed he got to teach me something good. Allah will benefit me with it. He what? He said, to read Ayatul Quran. He said, صدقك وكذب. He's a liar, but what he taught you is right. Doesn't matter the information come from who. If the information right, break it. Doesn't matter who's giving the information. It come from the east or the west, it come from a kafir or a Muslim, come. And alhamdulillah, everything, I put it in a safe and I let it for the public. I don't hide information, you understand? Anybody can take this tape that I'm just saying and give it to Sheikh Ahmed, whatever, I don't know what his name is from Mecca, that who claim and say that I belong to this group in Morocco and he named a sheikh there and never even heard about him. And he says that I'm not dead and I never thought in the Haram. brother, what are you talking about? I have a seat with sitting between Rukni Yamani and Hajar Ismail, and I know where it is. And I used to sit on it. And I used to teach it there. And I'm not saying I'm some arrogant or boasting. But if somebody asked me, what is your qualification to teach? I say, I used to study in such a place. I used to teach in such a place. So now people making a big thing after 27 years of teaching in America, people coming to check me out now. I go to somebody who may be younger than me, 15 years, asking him about me. What do you know about me? You don't know me. Now he say, I was not. Now I have people who are living in America today, used to study in Umm al-Qura 30 years ago, and they saw me with their own eyes in their head, teaching there. And some of them in Philadelphia now, imams of a masjid, and I have enough people tell me from the people used to go make time. And I name people. I have eyewitnesses, I have a certificate to say this, and I have enough. Well, I don't care. So I go with my own anxiety. Am I going to catch the flight? I'm going to make it for the lecture. I'm going to be stopped in the airport. Am they going to make me take my shoes off? I'm going to be able to go back home? Or they're going to detain me because I have a long beard, I'm wearing a suit, I have my anxiety reading the internet. Every time I go to teach, wherever I teach, even the internet, somebody comes and says, are you a Salafi? Brother, all what you need is to stick around for 5 minutes. Stick for 5 minutes in the room. And listen to what I'm saying. You will know if I'm a Salafi or a deviant. Because you don't, you see, if your aunt lives in China, you don't have anybody else in China except your aunt. In our language, in Egypt, they say what? Al-kitab yu'arafu min inwan. So now when you get, you say that you know the letter by its address. Now when you get, you understand the letter with a stamp from China, you don't know anybody except your aunt. Right away, your mind will go what? Oh, my aunt. You didn't even open the letter yet. You see? So all what you need, brother, is take it in the website for 5 minutes. And see what this man is saying, okay? And see if he's a deviant or a talent. No, if you do not say, I-R-A-Z-A-A-L, like this, it's not. If he said, I'm from Al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, it's not acceptable. If he said, I'm from Al-Firqa al-Najiyya, it's not acceptable. If he said, I'm on the manhaj of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, it's not acceptable. You have to say the word like this, or otherwise you are a deviant. You see, we live in a life nowadays that's surrounded more with anxiety, and everybody has a different way with anxiety and hardship and difficulty and sadness and weep and cry. And I'll be honest with you, I lived for some time with my anxiety with this foolish. And subhanAllah. Allah, I give you something, my brothers and sisters, as an advice. Those who transgress against you, leave this to Allah. Say, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. When somebody will transgress against me, it takes a month, it takes a year, 6 months. And this person who will talk bad about me, Allah will make somebody who talk bad about me. I was so surprised. I almost say like a miracle, brother. Subhanallah. Some people that you never can think that somebody will talk about this. Some shiyukh, scholars even start to talk about this. Some people, their name became in Mujallat al-Da'wah from Saudi Arabia. So and so he understand what he's saying is wrong and his aqidah is corrupted. He needs to come and sit under the front. Wow. And the latest of all, this person who being making a lot of accusation and a lot of lies on me from Atlanta, Aqil Walker. Finally, I just heard 2 weeks ago, they kicked him out of the minhaj also. Everybody kicking somebody and somebody kicking somebody. I did not kick anybody. I remain. Whatever they say, I say, brother, don't tell me about what they say. Leave them. Leave them to Allah. Allah will deal with them. And I saw it with my own eyes. Those people that were talking about me, ill, like a bird, like twelve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them. Now somebody higher than them is talking about them. Talking about them. You see? So this part of the anxiety that we live in with, don't go to the website of Sheikh Atli because he's not a sheikh, he's not in the minhaj. It's no problem. We teach it for free. You can ask Brother Osman if he pay me anything for coming here. It takes me, I understand, 3 hours and a half flying and all this hardship. And I hope that Allah will accept my effort. He paid for my tickets, he paid for my hotels, but he doesn't give me anything for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And every weekend, alhamdulillah, flying. People that's not paying me. I don't like some people who claim to be Salafi. Ask them to come to their town. He asks them for $1,200. And I'm not going to say his name. And when he goes there, his lecture is what? Salman al-Auda is not Salafi. Muhammad Adli is Ikhwani. Bilal Bilal is all these things. This is the lecture they give him nowadays. And he charges $1,200. This is not for his ticket. This is only cash money for his ticket. You see? And after this, people claiming to be Salafi, if this is the way of Salafiyah. Anyway, not to go too far from our stuff. Now we got to know about worries and excitement and sadness and tears. I'm telling you, we understand, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people sometimes talk because this is one of the ways, understand, to show you from life. Example, we talk about Ibrahim and Ismail and Yaqub and all these people. But sometimes that you relate to the people to life examples from our surroundings, so the people can relate to something close to them, so they can understand how to deal with small things. This anxiety can come as a sickness, as a death, as failing in the test, not getting a job, marriage proposal being turned down, somebody talks about you like a dog, somebody say you are not a Salafi, somebody come and hack your website, somebody understand, all kind of things that will cause the understanding that. So now we try to understand that we need to have our sadness and our worry for something greater than the car. Somebody put a can of soda on it and now made a spot on the car. Let your worry and your anxiety and your sadness and your need for something great. Forget about all this. Oh man, I spent, understand, $30 for this time. And now they just telling me in my job, now that I have to be clean for all the employees. Now I just paid $30. You worry about your ties and your shoes. And we Muslims, we need to have a great of worry system. Especially if we are in the field of doubt. My worry now and my anxiety is not that before a year or 2 years ago, when mashallah the shuyukh who claim to be the students of Sheikh Albani, they made me like a dog, and the Quran and Sunnah Society talk about me like a dog, you understand? For a personal different thing, this was my worry. Allah bless me now to my worry to be what? Not about the people who been fighting and slander me, about when the people will wake up and get out of this personality and stop playing the games of Jah and Ta'dil. Like the brother was telling me this morning, the Jah and Ta'dil, and he brings in this folder that much about Muhammad Abdi. And the internet is not the evidence. Allah says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Produce your evidence if you are truly and truthful. That much. If he spends some time instead of making this sirah and distributing it and the study of Muhammad Hadli, okay, you said in my khutbah and you said in my class, did you hear me saying something that's not that? And I say, oh, brother, Aqil Walker says this about you. And Aqil Walker, I have, you understand, evidence, he talked with Sheikh Ahmed Zanzuni or what Ahmed, whatever in Mecca, and he has the tape. Yes, this is Aqil Walker talking to Zanzuni, but this is not my problem. What is it, Ahmed Walker? Huh? Oh, no. Somebody, I left all the stuff I told him. Anyway, this is not the evidence. The evidence is that the man will come and say, this is the page that he made in Texas, and you talk down about Sheikh Papi. He say, oh, we have a guy here in America, he claimed to be this and that, and he talk bad about the scholar. Talk about the scholar. Who talks about the scholar? Who talks about it? And he talks about Sheikh Rabi and Sheikh Baz, and he understand, he say, this he claims, but do you have any of, you have at least hundreds of tapes sitting outside. Bring one tape. Does I say anything else? If I did not stop all my work and go now and sit under Sheikh Rabi' to learn that now I'm not Salafi or I'm talking bad about Sheikh Rabi'? Why? Why do I have to go in the extreme? You see? Now, if I did not study under Sheikh Ibn Baz and I learned from Sheikh Ibn Abi, now Sheikh Ibn Ahmed is not in the Minhaj or Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen is not in the Minhaj. If somebody say he's Shafi'i and the other person they say he's Hanbali, now you go, oh, you could not marry my daughter because you are Shafi'i, I'm Hanbali. Do you understand? This is what used to happen among the Muslims before. Now we want to go back again to the same way. So we take brothers, all of them are our scholars, we respect them. I study under this, or I see the evidence more stronger here because the Sheikh says the hadith is authentic and the Sheikh can say he understands the hadith. So, we have a need. We have to understand we can still live and we can see what is more authentic and follow it. This does not mean that he took ill about Sheikh Rabi' rahimahullah. But how people meet. So my anxiety 2 years ago, what is the people talk about me? What did they understand? Abd al-Min'im and Salim Hilali and Musa Nasr and Qudsi and all these people talk about Muhammad Ali. But now this doesn't care for me. What I'm caring, concerned about my anxiety now, about when the people will wake up and get out of this dogma and get out of this personal feeling and personality among it, destroying the da'wah. The da'wah in America been destroyed. This is what's happening. This is my worry. This is my anxiety now. It's not about now. What Muhammad Ali? Now I don't say. I don't care. Whosoever say about me, let's say. Are we going to come and define to a common term between us that Allah says, the Prophet says, that the Sahaba understood? This is our mentality. This is our way. No, but you have to say that you are Salafi. I'm not going to say I am Salafi. I follow the way of the Salaf. I am still wrong. Yet you are wrong. Why? Because you are not saying it. Brother, I'm saying 1 plus 1 equal to another person say 3 minus 1 equal to 2. So what's the difference? We come to the same result. No, you have to say the same words that I'm using. No, because you turn it to be a club in America. And this is the reason I'm not using it. And by Allah, I lived in Egypt. I lived in Saudi Arabia. I'm in study under this year. I didn't see them use the term Salafi as much as the people use it in America. So now when I found it to be like, became like a click, now I don't want to use it. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, and I make it again, repeat it, and I'm sorry to turn away a little bit from the lecture because it's what happened this morning. I still have the tape of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. I still have, and I still say, regardless that Aqil Walker say, I'm a liar. No, I have the tape. The tape is available. They asked Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, do we have to call ourselves Salafi? He said to them, no, and he discouraged them to do so. I still have the tape. The tape available, and the tape is available, and have it. And the Sheikh, before his death, the last Hajj he made it, he made this statement in Mina. I have the tape. And if I follow what Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, you could not blame me. And he told me, but Sheikh Albani said, you have to. No, I'm not going to follow Albani, is it? I'm going to follow Ibn Uthaymeen. Now you're going to throw me out of Salafiyya? You could not. Because Sheikh Ibn Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, he doesn't have evidence from Quran and Sunnah to make an obligation for me. So I see more wisdom in what Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen saying, so I'm going to follow this. Now you're going to throw me out of Salafiyya? Because I follow a scholar different from your scholar? Let's see how we can deal with anxiety. There is different ways, and the first of all, the tawheed. The more that you have iman in yourself, the more that you can deal with anxiety. The way how you can control your anger, the way you can control your love. Okay? Why? Because you believe in Allah. You believe in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you understand that everything by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That with iman, you can deal with anxiety. With tawheed, you understand that everything is from Allah by Allah. So you're going to be patient, and you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. your belief in Allah's unity and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attribute, and that Allah knows everything, and now you're going to be willing to take the calamity that falls on you much easier than somebody else who has the weak iman. So this is the first thing that we need to do, that we have the proper tawheed, the proper aqidah. Knowing that whatever happens to you, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded when a calamity falls in the person. You understand that it's going to be reward, sickness, illness, worry, sadness, losing some money, losing a friend of you or a dear person to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be rewarding you for such calamity falling in you. So focusing in the reward that you're going to be rewarded as a result of the calamity, this will ease the anxiety and make you calm down. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءَ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Amazing the affair of the believer. All the affairs of the believer is good for him. Because if something good happened to him, he will be grateful and thankful, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for this. And if something evil happens to him, and he calamity or misfortune happens to him, he will be patient, he will be rewarded for his patience. So all the affairs of the Muslims, regardless if it's good, something to make you happy or make you sad, make you laugh or you make you should see it, all of them is good for you, because you know everything by Allah, and that regardless if it's good or bad, you're going to be dealing with it according to the proper way of the Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمِ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا حَزَنٍ وَلَا أَذَى وَلَا غَمٍ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةِ يُشَاكُهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing happened to the Muslim. Worry, tiredness, fatigue, sadness, calamity, even stung by a needle, it will be expiation for your sin. So now when you know that anything happening to you is going to be a means of expiation and erasing your sin, now you're going to deal with anxiety and problems in a better way. And as soon as you get out of the limit, you're going to remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows me. Allah will reward me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me better. Now you're going to calm down. Now you're going to be easy dealing with it. Anything that's happening to the Muslim is going to be expiation for his sin. So when you think about the reward that's going to happen as a result of the calamity, now you're going to what? You're going to be patient and you're going to be happy. Or at least you're going to be convinced as to what's happening to you. So he said, he says this about me, Allah meant something good for me. I lost my son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me reward. Or I failed the exam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything happening to you, it makes you always try to think about the reward and the blessing that is going to come to you as a result of this. Number three, reflecting on the reality of dunya. This temporary life is a temporary. You're going to leave it, but it's going to leave you. So whatever happens, you know, you think, where is King so-and-so? Where is President so-and-so? Where is the Khalifa so-and-so? They are not here anymore. They died. Where is Saddam? Gone. They did not get him yet, but at least he's not in the throne anymore, you see? So when you think about the dunya, and those people who possess the dunya, and those people who only five, closing their eyes, giving a hint with their eyes, think, yes, there. They say jump, people will say, how hard? Look what happened to them. So now when you start reflecting in the dunya and how cheap is dunya, is nothing. Now when the calamity fall in you, the anxiety happen and you're dealing with it, because this dunya is nothing. And we understand the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us about the dunya. الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر. الدنيا is what? Is a prison. Is a jail for the believer. For the believer. But is a jannah for who? For the kafir. Now, what kind of belief you got, now you can observe the dunya. So now, whatever glasses you wearing, now you will see. So you wearing the glasses of Islam, you will see the dunya according to Islam. You wearing the glasses of kuffar and the mentality of the kuffar, you will see the dunya according to the way of the kuffar. You will see it as a jannah, paradise. Women, drugs, stars, money, fun, dancing, jumping, This is the way how they see it, jannah for them. But if you are a believer, you understand that it's a prison. And the prisoner is still alive. But what? He has things tied. He don't have everything according to what he wants, what he likes. Is this true? The prisoner, when a person in jail, is alive or is dead? Alive! But he could not exercise whenever he wants. He could not say, I need a lasagna, and I need, you understand, shrimp, fried shrimp tonight. Whatever food they bring to him, he will eat it. So he eats or not, he eats. He survives or not, yes, maybe half an hour a day. He can take a walk outside in the yard and come back again. So he's still living. But the kind of life is not the same as somebody in the street. So the believer, he lives, but he lives like living in a jail. Yes, he could not get everything. Oh, I love this woman. Oh, I love this car. Oh, I want this money. He could not. But he still has a woman, and he still has some money, and he still has even. Oh, brother, it's 85. 85 model. But it takes you from the mask to your house to your job. You could think the engine is still running. Hey, man, but this man, guess what? What? Me and him came to America in the same year. And look now, he has a house and a car. And guess what? He has 2003, man. And still have the same car that I bought 5 years ago. No? At least you have a car. You see? So think and see how it's doing. And how people having cars, having possession, have to lose it. Sooner or later, everybody dies. And they will leave things behind them. So reflecting in the dunya will help you to calm down with the problems happening to you. When you lose beloved one, you lose position, you lose anything, it will show you how to deal with anxiety. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the whole dunya, and the whole dunya worthy of in the wing of a mosquito to Allah, is not going to give the kafir even little bit to drink out of it. But dunya doesn't mean anything to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the dunya to everybody. Doesn't matter if Allah loves him or he hates him, Allah gives him the dunya. But if Allah gives you the deen, you should be happy. Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu from hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqihuhu fi ddeen. Whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for him, he will give him the understanding of religion. But if Allah gives you Islam, this is a great blessing. So now, not to cry for other things. Oh, my wife never had children. Be patient. Be patient. Then, reading the Quran. Are you better than Zakaria? You're not better than him. Oh Allah, وَهَنَ الْعَظْمَ مِنِّي وَالْتَعَالَ الرَّأْسُ الْشَيْدَ وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ الْتَطَيِّرِ. Oh Allah, my hair is getting gray. I'm getting old. My bones are getting weak. And Allah is still calling. I'm still open. He was a prophet. And who you are? Who you are? We make mistakes day and night. So, take it easy. at least it's still have this plan. You see? Oh man, every wife or every woman I marry here, I'm divorced. At least he found another woman who wants to marry you. Whether this job you understand it, at least you understand, you see? You see what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us? He's telling us, look to those who have less than you. انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو أعلى منكم. Look to those who have less than you in the dunya, in the material thing. And don't look to those who are above you, those who are more than you. Why? So you can be grateful to Allah's favor. If you always look into the body, to the person who driving a Jaguar, you're never going to appreciate the Mercedes. You never. But if you look to the person who's standing by the bus station, I don't know if you have buses here, city bus or no, but if you found somebody standing in the snow, waiting on the bus, now you're going to appreciate this Cadillac that you're driving, although it's 93. Is it true or not? Yeah, it's time to eat, huh? We're feeding the brothers here, again. We are feeding them, alright? Alright, let's go fast, you understand, since there's only 15 minutes left. Alright? Always remember, for you to deal with anxiety, think about the messenger. Read the stories of the Prophet. See what has happened to him. Yunus is a prophet. He was in jail. But was a serious jail. Not like Yusuf. Yusuf was in jail and he was an innocent. But Yunus, alayhi salam, he was in a maximum security prison. Maximum security prison. And also as a result of he did something. He quit his job for permission from Allah. As a da'iyah, as a messenger, you need to wait until Allah gives you the green light. You quit? Okay. Now we'll put you in jail. And his jail was what? Banada fi al-Zuluman. Zuluman is a plural. Darkness is. Not wonder. He was under the darkness of the night. He was under the darkness of the ocean. And look where? He was in the darkness of the stomach of the whale. How? 911 can reach to Jonah and get him out of there. Wow, man. He can maybe go down in the ocean, but who would have the nerve to go in the stomach of the whale to get Jonah out? No, man, I could not do this. They shoot the whale, but maybe you shoot Jonah, because you don't know what is Jonah inside. See? So when you start it, when you have a hard time, when you have a problem, when you're dealing with anxiety, when you're crying, you have to think about this prophet. Think about Mario. Think about Noah. Hidayah, you're crying because the shuyukh felt bad about you? They put your name in the internet? Noah. 950 years giving da'wah. What are you talking about? Because they want to take it and the only two brothers came. So what? So what? Who you are? Muhammad Ali, so what? What you are? Noah was a messenger, was a prophet, and he stayed for 950 years. Now he comes to Christ. So the da'iyah, when he starts think about it, somebody like this, and people who lost their children and think about the Ya'qub, and people, you understand, who don't have children and start to think about Zakaria, when we study the story and what happened to the Prophet, now we can deal with anxiety in a much better way. The Prophet has to be in the cave. The Prophet of Allah Muhammad has to be in the cave. Yes, he has to. Now, when you say, oh, one bedroom, it's not complaining, man. It's not complaining about one bedroom. Brother, you don't know how hot is Arabia, and I have two roommates. Brother, for the da'wah, for learning the deen, it's what we do. You are not going to know it until you lose it. Let us get it while you have it. Oh, it's so hot in Saudi Arabia, brother. And I have a brother there, my roommate, you understand? Be patient. Be patient. يقتدن بناري لأنه موسى عليه السلام. لأنه موسى he had to make a whole journey to meet the خضر so he can learn. A messenger goes to خضر and say هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا؟ Can I please follow you? Can you imagine a messenger asking ordinary man, a righteous man, saying, can I follow you please to teach me? And after this, he making his application and say, I don't think he can be patient with me. Rejecting me. He telling him, you could not. Subhanallah. And say, brother, I'm never going to this mark. Why? What happened? He sent the sheikh yell at me. So, we need to be with insight by learning of others. Also, number 15. He look at me and say, wow. When did he look at his deen? It doesn't matter, 15, 7. Take it and this is, okay? He says, du'a. Du'a. Calling in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taking, you understand, this goes 15, goes one after the other, and after this goes to the emergency room. It's not going to help you think. He goes to get you closer to the fire. Leave this medicine alone, this dose alone, this is not for you because you are not sick. You are unsafe. You don't know how to deal with things. You could not be taking all the pills so you can die. This is wrong Islamically. You could not commit suicide. Go and call in Allah. Make wudu. Get down on the prayer. Cry to Allah. Cry to Allah. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did ask a beautiful dua saying that he used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-amn wal-hadath wa a'udhu bika min al-ajd wal-kasal wal-bukhl wal-jubn wa dala' al-dayn wa ghalabat al-rijal. In the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, reported by Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take refuge in Allah from worry and sadness and anxiety and being lazy and the visor, you see. So all the things we call dua, and there is a special dua that I would like to teach it to the Muslim by, but it's not going to be enough time, neither I can write it in Malik or in Arabic. But I will advise you to go get Kisner Muslim or this other book, the authentic publication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a very good book. And learn this dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that anybody been afflicted by a calamity, anxiety, worry, sadness, and he says this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove his anxiety, will remove his sadness, his fears, his worries, and Allah will replace it with happiness. Very important dua. Very important prescription from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have anxiety, you have sadness, you have worry, you have anything, say this dua with belief and trust in Allah. Allah is not going to remove it only. Allah will remove it and replace it with a habit. This is the Prophet of Allah. Should we learn it? He said, yes, learn it. Anybody who hears it, he has to learn it. This hadith is the collection of Imam Ahmad, and Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi, authenticated the hadith to be authentic. I will say it one time in Arabic, so just that the dinner is ready. I didn't forget about it, inshallah. And let our anxiety be about learning more how to remove anxiety more than be worried about the dinner, because we can dinner, eat dinner, we eat dinner every day. But sometimes we don't hear about things like this every day. But inshallah, still stick by the rules. 15 minutes five done, 10 minutes left. He says, you say, Allahumma inni abdu, wabnu abdika, wabnu amatika, nasiyati biyak, madin fiya hukmu, adlun fiya qada'am, as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, sammayta bihi nafsak, أو علمته أحدا من خلقه أو أنزلته في كتابك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندي أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. Say this دعاء إن شاء الله with the trust you will see the result. You will see the result. Because we trust what the Prophet said. The dua is a simple meaning to the best of my ability translated, that you will say when you are afflicted by calamity, anxiety, sadness, worry, fear, whatever term in English you want to use it, say, oh Allah, indeed I am your slave, son of your slave, male and your female slave. My affairs is in your hand, and my court is under your command. Your judgment and your affairs is fair and just concerning me, that whatever you deal with me is fair and just. I ask you, Allah, with every name which you have named yourself with it, or you know it's one of your creatures, or that you reveal it in one of your books, or that you kept it for your own self, nobody else know about it, that you made the Quran the spring of my heart and the light of my head, and they remove me, and they remove my sadness and my worry, except Allah will remove it. Okay? Inshallah, try brothers and sisters to learn it. Okay? Number 8, dealing with anxiety, putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know that everything by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so leave your affairs to Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Whosoever put his trust in Allah, Allah will suffice him. So leave the matter to Allah. Okay? How much you put the plan and not the plan and be, don't worry about it, because what, especially about things already took place. You're going to continue crying, being sad about it, like somebody died. You missed your flight. You been fired. So what? Even thinking about it, it's from the shaitan. Shaitan is playing games with you. You see, something already gone, it's gone. You cannot bring it back. You're going to go get your husband or your wife out of the grave. No. Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Get busy with something else. Don't keep sit and focus and thinking about what has happened. Try to get yourself busy, and this one of the things to help you to deal with this, right? Get yourself busy with something. Don't sit leaning in your hand and not eating, not drinking, thinking about what had happened. Leave what has happened and get up, get a book, read, get in the computer, you understand, and go listen to a class, a live class, make sure you choose the right room, so because you can sit in the wrong room, arrive and will add more to your sadness by hearing things, okay? So if you don't know which room to go to, it's better not to go. Get up and make yourself die. Take a walk outside. Okay? Do something different of sitting in the spot. Okay? Move out of this area. Go visit a friend of yours or a relative of yours. Go to the mosque. Do something for the Muslim community. Go get the vacuum cleaner on the spot. Vacuum in the mosque. Do something different. This doesn't do it usually. You see? To get you out of this environment of being sad and worried. Try to do something different. Okay? Especially if something that you will enjoy doing as a doctor, okay? Just block. There is nothing wrong. Okay, like this puzzle. Go get 5,000 pieces of a puzzle and try to put it together. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not around. Okay? And try to put it together. It will make you take your mind off the problem that you've been thinking about. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Mu'min al-Qawi, ayahu ahabu Allah is Al-Mu'min al-Za'eed, the strong believer, is much beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than the weak one. So we need to strengthen our iman, and there is means and ways to strengthen our iman. Okay? So a person has to prepare for the anxiety before it comes by increasing your iman. Okay? reflecting on this. Okay? Reflecting on this. You understand? This is made, you understand, reflecting on this, it will help a lot. A person has to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah, something very important, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, with the remembrance of Allah, heart will win satisfaction. Heart will win satisfaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help. Did he say something? Yes. Did he say something, sister?
No.
Okay, sorry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek help in prayer and patience. You see? So when a problem happens and when you feel this anxiety and this worry, get up and make salah. Put your trust in Allah and call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the calamity falls in you, try to see the goodness and the favor of Allah. So good as example, if your son passed away, but you have other children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to take all the children and all the family. So instead of focusing about, I lost one of my children, focus about that I still have other children that I can look and enjoy them. If Allah, may Allah forbid, test you with some problems in your eye or one of your arms having that you could not use it anymore, try to reflect on what Allah has listed to you. You still have your limbs you can walk, but you still have another hand you can use, indeed. But still focusing about what you love. It's going to increase your anxiety and your worry and your sadness. So look in the other ni'mah, the other blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Okay? From the things that will help you also to get out of this situation that you're dealing with, that you try to do your homework in time. Because anxiety also comes as a result of delays in work. You see, I will do this tomorrow. I will memorize this before the exam. You understand? I will try to meet the brother 5 minutes before he leaves. You see, don't delay things. Try to do things in time. This will help you that you didn't have too much homework, because when you have too much duties and obligation and be relaxing and doing things, this will put burden in you, and this burden makes you worry, and this worry will make anxiety for you also. Also, from the things that it can release the person of anxiety, you talk to the people of knowledge, the people of wisdom, the people who deal with things. Okay, related to what happened to you. Especially the people of Iman, the people of knowledge. Be in their company. Because when you sit in their company, you hear something, it strengthens your Iman. Remind you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is nothing wrong that you talk to them about the problems that you're dealing with. And we can see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have different sahaba came complaining about certain things we're dealing with. Like Al-Khattab. Khattab ibn al-Arad, radiallahu anhu. With so much happening in Mecca. And you came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would lay down again in the Kaaba and say, oh Prophet of Allah, why don't you make dua for us? Why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this hardship, this difficulty, the kuffar doing this and that to us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told to him, look how the Prophet dealt with the anxiety of Qatar. He reminded him about the people before. And he said that one of them, they used to bring him because it's faith, because it's belief. They used to dig a hole for him in the ground. But this believer, this Muslim in the hole, they bring the munishtar, the saw, put it in the middle of his head, and they cut him 2 pieces. You see, now he reminded Khabbab about the early believers, what was the habit to this. And after this, he gave him the plan sighting. That by Allah, it's going to be a good time coming from Islam and Muslim. and people will be traveling, they have no fear for anything except Allah and the wolf to attack the sheep. It will come the time. But you people, you are rushing. You are not patient. Wait, it's going to be better. You see? So sometimes we can go and talk to those people, but make sure you talk to the right person now. Just to go to somebody, he will make it worse to you. You understand? Things like this here. A person also, by reflecting in the dunya, a person also has to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. Indeed, with every difficulty, there is relief. And with every difficulty, there is relief. So we always have to understand that it's never going to stay like this. Okay? That truth or shaitan is going to be a relief. So we always waiting in the relief, I'm sure, because Allah is saying that it's going to be relief. So when you know and you trust in the promise of Allah, this will calm down your anxiety and make it much, much easier in you. I'm sorry first for Brother Osman for taking more than what I supposed to be taking out of the lecture, but for knowing that this subject is needed and it's very important, although I didn't cover it as much as possible and as much I would like to. But inshallah, I hope that Allah forgive me for my shortcoming. And one last thing that I would like to say, that thinking about today, always this is a remedy for many things, thinking about this, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, أَذْكِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِ مِنْ لَسَّهِ. Remember Allah, this, which is the destruction of all injustice. Whenever you remember this, if there is difficulty, it will become easy. And where it is, it becomes difficult. When it's large, it makes it small. When it's small, it makes it big. You see? What's this? Because whenever you remember this, any problem you're dealing with, you know that it's going to be more severe about it. So he says that whatever I'm dealing with now is nothing. Like when the angel of death will come and snatch in your soul, and it's so serious. And when you go in the grave, and how the grave will squeeze the person, and all the things. So always remember this. Because when you remember this, you're complaining about little bit money you got. When you die, you have no money. See? So now it will make you feel that what you got is halal. Anytime you remember this, it will change the condition that you are in. And I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness. And I will, inshallah, again, repeat and say, Ta'inu bil sabri wa salah. Seek help through prayer and prayer. Seek help through patience, prayer. When the calamity falls in you, listen to Allah. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before turning to anybody else. Turn to Allah with remembrance, with zikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient to remove your calamity and your anxiety. And don't forget to learn the dua that I told you about it, inshaAllah. Get a book of dua, make sure it's authentic, and read the dua, and say it with the trust in Allah, and you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your condition. With this, I come to conclusion to this speech. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness for my shortcoming. If I said anything wrong in this lecture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from it and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if I said anything right, it's by Allah and His Tawfeeq and His guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Thank you very much. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.